to come and stall it.
Ah, will you just stall it, look?
I'd like to come and stall it.
I'm not really in the mood.
Well, come on and bleed and stall it.
Yeah, house hatcher.
I'm not a house hatcher.
We'll stall it for a crack. We're gonna have a laugh.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 155 of Stall It. Stall It is a Go Loud original podcast. And Joe, explain yourself.
Explain yourself.
For why I'm late. Because I drove in. I've been cycling in the last while. And I drove in for the first time in maybe 6 weeks. And
because it's raining.
Because it's raining. It's fierce windy and rain. Blustery. Blustery out there. And I was on the road for an hour and a half. Coolock to South Dublin. An hour and a half.
Oh, I believe it.
You'd get to Galway quicker. You'd get to fucking Galway quicker.
Probably would.
Depends how fast you are driving, but yeah, you could.
You could. It'd be illegal, but you could do it.
If you broke the laws,
yeah.
Maybe took a plane or something. But yeah, that traffic, it's just roadworks and no one's actually walking. So it's just, let's just stick up a few cones here and fuck with people's heads on a Thursday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
1 o'clock.
It's always somebody else's fault, isn't it?
It's ridiculous.
Never your own fault.
Bleeding Church Street. Do you know Church Street? That's the worst for the traffic.
Is that bad as well?
That's the worst for the traffic.
There's no good traffic.
What happened to good traffic?
I miss it. I miss free-flowing traffic. I say get rid of the traffic lights and let everyone run wild on Dublin City. That's what I do. Make it like India. They know how it's done, you know. Just drive it balls.
Do you ever see the aerial view of the traffic or the movement of the cars in India?
Yeah, no, the India traffic is crazy. That's the Walkinstown roundabout. That's what I want the whole of Dublin to be like. That mad fucking junction.
Yeah.
Where there's like 20 lanes, 17 exits, and just stress.
Roundabout.
I went, the first time I went on that Walkinstown roundabout, I swear I was just bleeding. You just get on it and you scream, you just go, "Wah!" for 20 minutes until like you just build up the courage to veer off it.
Mm. The exit for Finglas where Charlestown is. Like it's a left turn, we go straight into a left turn, but it feels like the left turn is happening for like 10 minutes.
Yeah, it's a long left turn. Like pushed up against the side of the car.
That's what 10 minutes turn to the left.
That's a scary roundabout as well, but it's not Walkinstown roundabout.
I was asked to play for Man United.
Get out of town.
Remember we were talking about, imagine you were playing for Man United.
Yeah.
I was asked to play for Man United. Legends. Man United legends.
But you're not a Man United legend.
I know, but this
Man United supporters legends.
Man United supporters club in Ballyferma are doing a charity match.
Ballyferma.
The Ballyferma Man United supporters club.
Yeah, that's the official one. Yeah.
They're doing a charity match and they asked us to play. Like,
okay.
And I was like, ah, no, I'm shite. Like, well, be a manager if you want for the crack. And he said you can play for Man United if you want. Like. What's going on?
Charlestown loyal.
But it's like Yap Stam and all and the Jemba Jemba and fucking...
Playing?
Yeah.
What?
Ronnie Johnson and all, yeah.
Yap Stam is playing this game.
Yap Stam is playing in Ballyferma against me.
I'm not playing,
but...
Why aren't you playing?
Because I'm shit.
So you can play against Yap Stam and you're not going to play?
Nah.
That is...
I manage...
What the fuck?
He said I can be a manager if I want. I can manage Man United, like...
Could he be your assistant coach?
I'd rather play with Man United. You can play with Yapsa. Who else is playing?
Ballyfermot.
In Ballyfermot? What the fuck is going on here?
The Manchester United Supporters Club of Ballyfermot. So they said the provisional United squad most likely to be...
Oh, the provisional.
...is Yap Stam, Ronnie Johnson, Brian McClure, the Jemba Jemba, Keith Gillespie, Chris Eagles, Clayton Blackmore, and two more names to be confirmed. Special guests are Tadhg Flemin, Nasty 2K, Al Foran, Conor Ryan, and they got back to me saying Owen Colgan as well. And I said, can I be a manager? And they said, hey, you're more than welcome to play for United or being the coach, completely up to you, mate.
Can I be the referee?
That's what I said, I'm not the only. I'll be the coach if Joe can be the ref.
Why doesn't Joe be your assistant manager?
Like that'd Michelle be a big show. Like Charlestown Athletic, but with Man United legends.
So would you be coaching the United team or the...
Probably the boys. Nasty 2K, you know.
What?
Yeah, Nasty, stop reviewing Spice Bags, will you? And fucking score the goal.
Now, you got to coach the United team. Come on. I want to hear Joe tell me about the time he watched you explain to Yap Stam how zonal marking was going to work.
You should say, I'll only do it if there's going to be a bed on the sidelines.
Oh. If there's a bed, I'm there.
And then you can jump up and down whenever.
You just coach them on the day, though.
Is Eric like, Roberts? Did you throw Eric Roberts? Is his name in there?
Not yet.
But you'd imagine so, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Let's do another charity football match as well with the lads from the Hard Hats, Hard Chats.
Yeah, same. Yeah. I got asked to do that one.
Again, I'm shit at football, mate, but if you want me to share the event, I can. You know, the kind of way.
I've a bad knee. I'd love to.
I can only play for Man United, sorry. Oh, sorry, I can't. Actually, I'm playing for Man United.
I was down in Galway there the weekend.
Were you on a Stags?
I was on a Stags, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Heavy?
Yeah. Well, yeah. It wasn't too heavy because I didn't know anyone. It was Party Stag.
Party, yeah.
I didn't know. Yeah. Fucking shoehorn me way in there. It's not my Stags.
I'm talking to Party if he's listening. I'm joking anyway.
Yeah, I was on a Stags in Galway and I didn't know anyone. And they were all his mates, so they were all from the country. I was the only dub there. Proper fish out of water situation.
Did you do any games? Or was it just points? 2 day points.
Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I don't want that for my Stags.
You want games?
I want games.
You want
archery and fuck off.
Yeah. Three-legged race, sack race. And you want the sports day.
Yeah, I'd have a big sports day. And then 2 points after.
Games and activities.
Yeah.
And sweets. Do you want sweets?
No.
No sweets.
Just the activities a little. But
I picked someone up on the way down.
That you don't know?
That I didn't know.
Okay.
That's a long drive, Dublin to Galway, in a car with someone that you don't know. And I was thinking it would be fucking hilarious if I played something mad on the radio when he got in. And I was saying this to Maura, and I was like, what would be mad, like, if I was playing some heavy metal
Slipknot
shit
or something.
Yeah. And he'd be like, oh, what's the story, you know, be fucking doing his head in. But then Maura says, no, you should go the different direction with it.
And play classical music.
Play the audio book of the Bible. Like, imagine, like, he got in the car. I was like, I love this part. I'm on 416 here now, sorry. It's just imagine that. That would have been hilarious.
Yeah, if he had just played like some heavy metal, he probably would just went, nice.
I like this song, yeah.
People equal shit, love it. Yeah.
Could have played the Bible and acted as if it was the first time you had heard the Bible.
Yeah.
Oh, and then just coming.
What the fuck?
Water into wine. Oh, no way.
They did what to him? What?
Jesus.
Judas, you little snake.
I didn't know all that. I didn't know it.
Oh, come on, Pontius Pilate. You know what's right here. You know what's the right thing to do.
Like the fact that you just don't know him. Like if we got into a car and he'd done that, we'd just be like.
Yeah. The Old Testament would have been good. Like Noah's Ark and shit. How'd he get all the animals in there? Can you believe that, man? Can you believe that? Jesus.
Two goats, two dogs, two elephants.
Hell. Where is it now? We go looking for it. That would have been a better
Was it
car.
Just a normal car journey?
I didn't have the bottle to it. I didn't, because who, like, there's no one else in the car. Who was that joke for? Like,
yeah.
I would have just been listening to the Bible for 2 hours.
That's real commitment to the bit.
It would have been a gag that you'd have to commit to.
Could listen to yourself.
That would be weird.
Yeah.
That would be weird.
Or just listening to Stala. And then just kept Stala on for the whole joke, like three episodes probably.
And I would crack up with your own jokes.
Only yours. The and you. Then when I say something, you're just like that. Just looking dead on. Absolutely dead.
And when he laughs at your jokes, I just kind of give him a little glance like,
yeah.
Don't fucking laugh at that.
And you grab him by the collar and say, don't fuck, that's not funny.
That's not fucking funny, right?
Laugh at the spice bag truck. Laugh at
just like screaming at the top of my lungs.
Laugh at my Airbnb experience now.
Oh man, I'd say I'd have about 10 cups of tea a day.
What the bloody fuck.
I was with a bunch of lads and we were slagging, and one of them was like a 39 year old man. I was like, shut up, you're a fucking outfielder. And he says, you look older than me, what the fuck are you talking about? I'm only 33. And I was like, I don't look fucking older than you. So we went around, we were asking people, who's older, me or him, this old man? And everyone, unanimous, said me. And so now I'm like, shock. I thought I looked 29. And now I'm like, I thought I looked so much younger. And now I'm, and now it freaks me out because when I look at him, I see a man. You know, when you look at a man, you're like, he's a man. That's a man, a grown up, like a grown up person. I never thought that people would look at me and think that way, feel that way. And that's had to make me very uneasy.
Do you think, like, if you said to someone, all right, I'm Joe, I'm 40 years old, I think they'll just go, okay?
No. That's horrifying. That's terrifying.
I don't think you look 40.
How old do you think I look?
39.
Really? No, what would you give me if you didn't know me? If you tried to see me...
I'm like 36 or something.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm 33 though. That's so old looking.
Years older.
He's out of 10%.
Would you say around 36?
Yeah.
Would you go higher at all?
Maybe.
Yeah. I'm 32.
I'd say you look older than me.
No, look, I look at you when I see a man.
I am a man, Joe.
I think you look older than him.
You think I look older than him?
Yeah.
What are you fucking talking about?
He doesn't look 40. Nah, I don't know. Is that, I don't know. You're all old as fuck. I don't know.
So we've been putting cream. I was like, what is it about? And they're like, the crow's feet. And I'm like, I don't have crow's feet, do I? Now I'm like...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Is that what it is? That word? Is it just like me
like
face?
Like Terry Flower. You're just old before your time.
Yeah, Terrence looks 43.
He's in his 20s.
He looks 40 odd.
I genuinely thought... I look alright for my age.
People say I look about 28.
It's very hard for me to see it objectively, but I don't think I would have said 28.
Younger? No.
34, 35.
No way.
No.
No way.
No.
Yeah, you're going mad now.
Maybe I am. Maybe I am a little bit. But I'm shook, lads. I am fucking shook. Yeah,
You shouldn't open the door to it.
I know, but now I need to wake myself up. I need to realize. I came home. I says to Maura, I says, how old do I look? And she was like, about 29. Liar.
Do you think you look 29 because Maura tells you?
I just thought, like, so Maura's older than me, so I always thought of myself as younger, so I suppose I just assumed I looked younger as well. So I look older than, I look way older than my years.
I don't have any wrinkles.
Do we have wrinkles? Just me face resting.
Yeah.
Yeah, where did he?
Just on the top here.
Should I get Botox?
I was just about to say to you, like, it's irreversible how old you look until you get Botox.
I'm surprised how sensitive you are to this kind of criticism. Because usually you don't really mind people calling you anything and everything. And you're,
this is new.
This has really rocked you.
This is a new realm we've entered now. I've never had old. You look old. And I always wanted to be old. I was always the youngest of my friends. That's another reason why I find this so disturbing. It's too old to be making comedy sketches, though.
No, it's not.
Oh.
In this day and age...
It's cringe, man.
Well, when I'm 40,
imagine I start doing dances. Though. Imagine me on TikTok doing dancing.
Well, don't be dancing on TikTok then.
Don't tempt me. Don't be showing me good dance moves.
Do you think you'd be mad if you were in your 40s doing TikToks?
Yeah.
Well, we won't be friends with me then.
Oh, man. I swear to God. Even when I look at pictures or videos, I'm like, I don't look that old. But I guess I do. It's scary. It's scary. Like,
you look your age.
It's the biggest reality check I've had to face in many years.
Really?
Yeah.
What age did you say I am, if you didn't know?
I'd say 33, because I think I look the same as you.
I'd give you 26.
26?
26? Fuck off. And you give me 36. 10 years older than that.
At least 36.
You're lying.
26. I think of all of my mates, and I think they all look their age. And I'm going out on Saturday, and I'm going to be looking at them all saying, I look older than all of these here.
You know, if you were going to a movie premiere?
Yeah.
And it's like loads of influencers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they're all like 19 to 23. You're like daddy.
Man, I feel that anyway. I'm gonna feel like granddaddy.
I feel that. There's granddad.
Oh, yeah, seriously. What do I do? If anyone out there has any tips to look younger, let me know. Anything that's non-invasive. Oh, I'm not ready for it. I can't embrace it. I'm only 33. I'm not ready to embrace it.
33 is old.
It's early 30s. You are giving me late 30s.
I said 40. 41, 42. No.
You never know these days. Anyone could be any age.
Do you really think I look 26?
Ah, yeah.
Nice.
Not really.
Yeah, yeah. He's fresh.
Nice.
Not a blemish on him.
Class. He's winking at me.
Fuckers. These fucking fuckers. Honest to God, how old would you give me?
You're the man who last week was perfectly fine with making... a very public scene about pretend tickets. Like, you have no shame.
Like, I think it's a bit of karma. No, I think it's a little bit of karma for saying that about Jude Bellingham.
Oh.
No, I didn't say I wasn't good looking. Where are you going with this now? I'm a handsome 39-year-old looking. Oh,
sorry.
But you're a man who has no shame in most respects. Any kind of scrutiny or judgment that people might pass on you, that other people might wither in the face of, doesn't bother you. But this has completely thrown you off the rails.
See, now I look back.
About it a lot now.
Yeah, shook, man. For real,
Moisturising? You already do that anyway, do you?
I'm moisturising more, and I'm not even rubbing it in. I'm like putting cream around the eyes, and I'm not even rubbing it in. I'm just
wearing face masks, are you?
Doing face masks. I'm doing the works. And I'm not going to do the fucking sunbeds anymore, because apparently that as well.
Yeah, you look like leather.
And you don't wear sun cream either, do you?
No.
Yeah, well, you want to start that then. That's the number one ager.
SPV. Is it SPV?
SPF.
SPF.
Yeah.
Don't worry, I know all about it now. Fucking old age pension on him. SPF, the OAP.
10 best creams.
Can you get Botox, like topical Botox?
What do you mean topical?
Like without getting the needles. I don't like needles.
I don't think so.
Unfortunately, no.
Does it hurt? Does Botox hurt?
Yeah,
I'd say so.
A pinch, like.
Yeah, but then you can't feel
it. And then a lot of fluids filling your face.
Oh, yeah. Would I look weird with Botox or would it look good?
You don't need Botox.
No.
He doesn't need Botox. That's you don't need it. Where do you want it?
Like around the eyes and the forehead.
Do you get it around your eyes?
I'm not sure.
And the crow's feet, where the girls get them.
Oh, is it? Okay. Yeah.
Do I have crow's feet?
You're getting them.
Yeah, you're there.
You're getting them.
Everyone has that when they squint. Even babies.
It didn't take long.
That
for
was
you.
The most offensive reaction for anything of them. You're like looking for a no, and then you're like, yeah, well, whatever, they all have them. Oh, man. Yeah. But I think I'll get Botox now on the way home.
Casually.
Like the same. Just picking up a bottle of milk.
It's like in the same nature, just like saying you're getting a curry or something.
Yeah. Just pick up a spice bag on the way back.
You fucking will as well. Swap the sunbeds for the Botox. You'll have a guy. Some backstreet Botox.
Anyone buying us selling Botox?
Fuck, I'm going on the Ozempic. Might do a bit of Ozempic on the way home. Fuck the gym.
Oh, how much is Botox? If anyone wants to do a
fucking, for three.
I'll do a little cross collab with someone if they want to do.
I bought me man a Botox gift voucher for our birthday, and that was $250.
I was only ever insecure about my nose, and now I'm insecure about looking old.
Mm.
When I was bunking into that picture at this concert, I thought, oh, the old scamp. Yeah, really sneaking in. Now I'm thinking of it.
Look at that young fella trying to get into the gig there. Huh?
Chancing us out. Now if you look at me and you see a 39-year-old man trying to sneak into a concert, that's a different, that's
39
like,
might as well just be 40.
Yeah.
Do you know what reminds
me of? Middle-aged man trying to scale the fence. I picture this.
People with their kids and all, like, fucking
Jesus. This is embarrassing.
Fucking screaming house down everything. Over his tickets.
Trying to pull your jeans up.
Ollie and Beckett. Beckett was going up to... Beckett is my younger son. He's only two or three. Very young, cute age. And Ollie is six. Mm-hmm. And Beckett was going around his nanny's house. And he was doing happy faces and sad faces. And we were saying, oh, do your happy face. And he was going like that. And he was doing, and then I was like, do your sad face. And he done like a real sad face. And it was the cutest, funniest thing ever. And Ollie got jealous. And then he started going, this is my happy face. And then he started trying to get it. And it's just like way less cute when he does it. He's like, yeah. And this is my sad face. And we're like, yeah, we know you can do it. Like, you're a fucking man. Like, it just kind of felt like that. Like, he's past that age. And now I feel like that's how people are going to perceive me when they see me bunking into concerts and telling stories about it.
Maybe you should stop bunking into concerts.
Maybe I should just get Botox. That's the solution.
I think you should just embrace that you look old.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
You buy
up to it.
Yeah, you just have to change your lifestyle.
Why? Just stay looking old and...
Yeah, you no longer fit in. Really thought you once did. Peter Pan over here.
Honestly.
I've got to show you that.
Somebody sent Darren a message saying, I saw Joe in St. Anne's Park trying to hop a fence and miserably failing on his way to sneak into the picture at this concert. After the Garda found him moping on the ground all muddy. He got escorted out. What a sap. So that's not true.
Well...
I didn't get muddy.
So you're going to change your lifestyle. Places you go, people you see.
I'm going to have to start drinking water.
That's be more age appropriate. Or scotch.
No, I feel like gargle is part of the problem.
Do I look under 30?
But you got to embrace it. Like,
do I look under 30?
It's not going to go backwards. Yeah, 26.
No, but without winking then.
I'd give you 29.
I'd say 30. I'd say 40.
Say so, yeah.
29.
30.
29.
But you also
that's
dress
actually 10 years younger than
what I look like.
Supposedly you look like. Yeah. 10 years?
It's a lot of years.
It's like I'm doing fucking sketches with me dad.
You do dress like a teenager though.
Yeah. That does help.
I'm not doing a video, dad. I'm not doing it.
And I look at my hair and all, and I'm like, what am I fucking doing? Like, I'm growing it out and throwing it back. I'm like, shave it off, Joe, for fuck's sake. Like, come on. You know what I mean? That's why I shaved my beard off. I was like, it just makes me look dirtier and scruffier. And
you look well groomed today now, to be fair.
Yeah, just
the
shaved
it. The beard is shorter, yeah, it's good.
Is it?
Better look, yeah. Neater.
Is it? Better look, though. Well, makes good. Me mouth look
did
smaller.
Did you have a full beard at the Stags?
Yeah.
Oh, then. If you seen you now, you'd be like, geez, he fucking, yeah, babby.
And it was day two of the Stags, so.
Haggard.
Yeah, haggard. Haggard is literally the word that he described me.
Said
haggard, yeah.
From the drink, like, and the lack of sleep, maybe.
Yeah, let's put it down to that. Yeah, that's what it was. I actually do look young. I'm not going to stop sneaking into concerts now.
Don't be sneaking into
getting concerts. Some beds.
Just email them and ask them for tickets.
Pay for a fucking ticket. There was a fella on the Stags and he was a fan of mine. And I didn't know about it until, I guess he was playing a cool. They were kind of slagging him over it, like, you know what I mean? I found out then later on that night when we were having drinks, like, ask him for a photo there and all, you know, and like, oh, shit, here we blatant go. And then he was like, we were going, I was with him then for a bit of the first night, and everyone was in another pub and we were catching up to the pub, and he was going around to people on the street like, do you know who he is? Do you know him? And I'm like, mate, no one has a fucking, only you know who I am. Like, and he's just going around to people, he's fucking famous on the internet and all, in a culture accent, not a dub accent, but just blading going around. And then the second night, we were all just kind of chilling out, nursing a hangover with a couple of points, and we were in the smoking area of some pub, and everyone's just kind of talking, and then he just sort of pulls me aside and he just goes, who's the most famous person you have in your phone book? And well, my God, when I say ripped into, I've never seen a man being ripped into as much as he was after he said that. Did I fucking hear you saying that? Who's the most famous person you have in your fucking phone book? But I took the pit, everyone was taking the piss out of him then, and I said to Party, I says, I'm going to change your number to Barry Keoghan, and I'm going to pull him aside later on. I say, yeah, I don't mind then. Barry Keoghan's probably the most famous person that I have in my phone book. Will I give him a call? He goes, yeah. And so I called him on my phone. He's like, how are you doing? And Paddy's on the other end saying, Joe, what the fuck are you doing calling me? It's like 5 o'clock my time. What are you doing, man? And he's like, oh, no, this is not Joe. This is his mate. He just said that he called it. And he's like, all right, how are you doing? And your man's like, right, I'll let you go, boy. I was like, fucking hell, no way. he still thinks to this day. And if he listens to this podcast, he'll finally realise that it wasn't actually Barry Keoghan. And my heart will break for that poor man. He thought he was talking to Barry Keoghan. And anyway,
me, I'd have done it better.
I know. It was a bit of crack. Galway's a bit of crack. Nice, nice old town. Were you ever in Galway?
I was, actually. Went for a weekend before with Amy.
Oh, very nice.
A couple of years ago.
Kissing under the Spanish arches.
Big Soph was there.
Kissing him under the Spanish arches?
No. We were walking around. Is Air Square, is it?
Mm.
Is that where the shops and all are?
It's a big green in the middle of Galway. There is, yeah, the shops there.
To town where the shops are, like, we were walking and we just, like, were walking through where the centre is, and Soph just, like, stopped in his tracks and pointed, and he's like, oh, no, no way, do you have a Skechers here? We're just, like, quoting that for years about him, like, just saying, remember that time he said there was a Skechers, as if there was, like, Galway was the only place that had a Skechers shop. Like, you know, that's in Blanche and town, like.
Yeah, they're everywhere. It's not that impressive.
Oh my God, there's a Skechers shop here. He was dead serious. He doesn't even wear Skechers.
I was more impressed that there's a Brown Thomas. I thought Brown Thomas was only in Grafton Street.
There's one in Galway.
There's one in Galway. And there was a girl getting her makeup done in the window. Facing the window. Like, not facing a mirror or anything. Like, facing the window, facing the street. It's a weird thing to do.
There was a time when Brown Thomas wouldn't let lads in tracksuits in.
Still is.
That's all that goes in.
Lads in tracksuits.
They have the money. They're buying the Moncler jackets and the
Canada Goose. Yeah, that's true as well.
So if you go in now wearing a nice fancy outfit or a suit, you'd be told to piss off. Not really, but like, yeah. Brown Thomas is it's a mad shop, isn't it?
Yeah. In what way? In what sense?
No, it's just like, I was always afraid to go into Brown Thomas's, like Brown Thomas in town. Like, and if I went in, I was very, it's very weird or something. Like,
yeah,
shouldn't be there.
You'd be watched.
I'm always being watched walking around.
Oh yeah. Oh man. Absolutely.
When I go into like a shop in a shopping centre or whatever, like, nine times out of ten, the security guard follows me around.
Man, if you went for a piss in my gaff, I'd follow you.
Would you?
Yeah. You look dodgy as fuck.
Even without the hat?
Even without without.
If I'm not wearing a hat.
If I didn't know that you were Darren Conway, the comedian, and I didn't recognise you, I'd be like, keep an eye on that fucker. He's something going on under that gilet.
And I always make it known that they hear me when I'm talking to Amy, saying they're following us. Like, yeah, they're just following us around shop, like, you know, like, what do you want me to do?
Do you do that?
Yeah. Only coming in, spending me hard earned cash. You know? Card money. Crypto. Bitcoin. I'm coming in, spending me Bitcoin, man. Like, in boots or something. Like, you know, just want to get a bit of hairspray. And it's not for me. I use the volume. I'm just having a conversation with him then.
And maybe you're judging him. You think he's a security guard and he's not.
No.
And then he starts shouting, yeah, I'm only shopping myself.
I'm waff, I'm wearing a suit and an earpiece.
It's me music. It's how I listen to music.
I'm actually deaf.
It's a hearing aid.
You stupid fuck you. I don't care if you're using hairspray. Security guards follow you around the shop. They wouldn't even look at you.
They would. And then they just stop.
Go like that. Hello. Then you go, hello.
See, I don't walk in fucking all nervous and sketchy looking.
Owen doesn't go to shops that have security guards.
No.
Some shops don't have security guards because that's how fancy they are. As I was reading a book on the drug marches, and there was a fella around the time who was a big part of the drug marches, and that's like a whole fucking podcast series in itself. There was a woman that was selling heroin in the flats.
Uh-huh.
So the drug marches were, everyone were marching against drug dealers.
Yeah, getting, pushers out.
Pushers out. Yeah.
So there was a story.
Concerned parents against drugs, wasn't that it?
Yes, CDAP.
And they meet up in all the school halls.
There was a story about a woman called Ma Begley or something like that, Ma something. And she was selling heroin out of the flats. And this area hadn't organised a drug march yet. So they went, there was a couple of people, there was a child that was 13 that was strung out on heroin because your one ma was using him, was paying him with heroin to run for her, run our drugs and bring money and stuff like that. And they had like, she had five sons and they were all involved in it. So there's a handful of, there was six concerned parents that went to the guards, and the guards said, take note of all the cars and the regs, and take note of everyone that's going in and out and how often people are going in and out. And he'd done that for like 6 months and brought that to the police, and he said, just keep taking notes, keep taking notes. Guards weren't doing anything about it. So he went to some politicians. Politicians didn't want to know anything about it. And he went to the council to kick her out or move her, do something like get her out of that area. And they didn't do anything either, which was the case all of the time, which is why these marches happened, where they took it on themselves to
close doors,
to do this, to act on it or whatever. So then these six parents went to the Concerned Parents Association and they said, we'll help you march on the house. So when they went to march on the house, there was no one in. The house was empty. So they broke into the house and threw all of the furniture out into the flats. And then the guards came, and they came with SWAT, and they came with like armed response units, and the guys that were marching that were in the house hid upstairs and barricaded the doors, because this happened regularly, that the guards would come and arrest them and batter the people that marched. They wouldn't do anything about the drug dealers, but they battered the people that would march. And so then the guards went in and they tore all the barricades that they made down, and one of the lads jumped out of the flat and like broke his legs because he knew what was coming. And the lads that were in there that had barricaded themselves, the guards got into them and they decided to, like, they said, just let's go, let's run, mate, like run for it, get out. And they created like the guards, there was hundreds of guards, and they created like a lane. And as the lads were running through them, they were just throwing batons and boots and just biting the heads off these lads. And loads of them were left in the hospital. It was very violent, the guards against these boys. And then they got arrested and they went to court. And the six parents that reported at the original, at the beginning of all of this, the six parents that reported the drug dealing, they were arrested. Their houses got raided. And like their property got destroyed by the guards.
Why?
That's kind of like a really interesting question, is why. It's like they were protecting the drug dealers more than protecting the parents that wanted to stop the drug dealing. So it's a weird kind of, it's a weird, if you look back at it and you reflect, like they wanted to keep things the way they were. It's just a really fucking interesting thing.
Mm.
And then it went to court and the protesters won every time, and it became so embarrassing for the guards because they'd be countersuing for hundreds of thousands of pounds, because there'd be photographs of bruises and doctors' reports of broken legs and all of this violence, guard abuse against the residents that were marching. It was very, very violent. It was a lot more violent than I thought.
Mm.
Sorry, where did you see this?
This is in a book called Pushers
Out.
Oh
yeah?
Who wrote that?
I can't think of his name. If you look it up there, you'll...
Andre Leider.
Yeah. He was like a very posh, and he ended up in the north side of Dublin. I think he went to Trinity College and stuff like that, and I think he was American originally, moved to Trinity College, and then just started working in...
I've heard about this book before. It's also very good.
It's really good. I'll bring it in for you.
Just while you're chatting there, just looking this up. Here's an interesting one. So, story here of from 1984. Concerned parents against drugs. The story is they've succeeded in pushing the dealers out of Hardwick Street on the north side. And talking about how they've had success in Dolphin's Barn and St. Teresa's Gardens and others. And then once they had to issue an apology because they ran someone out of a house who was not a dealer. But here's the line. The issue has given rise to a new organisation called the Concerned Criminals Action Group, the CCAG. The members of this group admit to being ordinary criminals, not drug pushers. Some CCAG members have marched on the homes of some members of the Concerned Parents Group. Two members of the Concerned Parents Groups, with their identities hidden, explained that concerned parents patrolling the street interfere with the activities of ordinary criminals trying to get on with unlawful acts such as robbery. And the criminals refer to the concerned parents as vigilantes and informers. And the criminals argue that the guards are breaking the law by allowing the concerned parents to operate. Ultimately, the criminals say they do not want the public to carry out law enforcement, as that is the role of An Garda Síochána and the courts. There you go. That's from RTE. RTE in 1984. You can look that up. It's on the RTE archives. That's
Jesus Christ.
So we're just trying to rob a few things.
We're just concerned criminals.
We're just trying to rob hairspray.
Yeah. This is unfair.
That's mad. It was a mad time.
Yeah.
It was a mad time. We just kind of left. It just felt like working class areas were just kind of left at our own devices. If you just stepped outside of it, you're just kind of pushed back down. It's a really weird time. And I remember it. Like, how the fuck do I... Like, that went from 84 to the 90s. I remember it. I remember Mark.
I don't. It was in our city though, yeah. Mainly.
Yeah, but in Finglas as well. So that, yeah. my whatever her name is, Ma Barkley, Ma Bigley, she was moved from that house that I was talking about in the flats out to Finglas.
Oh.
And then they marched on out in Finglas, and they were a lot more violent out in Finglas. And she left the country then. She left for England. So she's in England now.
And when was the marching in Finglas? What year was that?
All around the same time.
90s.
They were marching out in Dunleary and everything. Like, it spread all over Dublin. It was widespread.
It was in that Dublin Narcos documentary. Did you see that?
Yeah. I didn't see.
They touched on it in that as well. It's a good watch. You should watch that.
Yeah. Because the IRA gave protection to the concerned parents. So you had the IRA, because the drugs, there was some sort of connection with the drugs coming in through the north. So there was like a north-south issue. So if the IRA killed the drugs industry down the south, then it would strangle the funds that was going to the north, to the loyalist paramilitaries and stuff like that. So it was very political,
involved, isn't it?
Yeah. There's so many layers.
Strands everywhere, like.
So many layers to it. And that's another, like, politicians didn't want to take sides with the concerned parents because the IRA was involved. So they didn't want to look like IRA sympathisers either. So it's just this really fucking complicated, bleeding, fucked up situation. It's violent. They marched on someone else's house, and there was two drug dealers in someone's flat, and a van rammed through the crowds, and most people moved out of the way, but rammed through the crowds, and the drug dealers jumped into the van to get away, and as they got away, like, they ran over like three kids. Jesus. And everything, like, it was fucking bonkers. And it was just kind of like fucking...
What was that thing you told us before about throwing the paint on the door or something like that?
Yeah, I think Jer might have said something like that, but somebody threw paint, a bucket of paint, all over the door of one of the drug dealers. And then later on that evening, they realised they got the wrong door. So then the next day, they were just like cleaning her off, like, sorry about that shit, sorry.
Wrong gaff.
But that happened all the time as well, like, they marched on the wrong.
But, like, even though it was just between, like, this sort of two divided thing, like, I said, it was loads of people just chipping in and just fucking mad shit happening, like, because they're just going with it, like, and, you know, the way, like mob mentality kind of.
Yeah, there was a lot of that. There was a lot of that.
There you go.
And they were kind of just innocent people as well, like, they were just...
Concerned parents.
Well, I wouldn't say innocent people, but, like, this... The drug dealers had problems themselves. Like, they were in debt, or they were fucking drug addicts most of the time.
That's like when no one knew heroin was, wasn't it? First came in.
Yeah.
That stage, like.
Yeah, the 80s. Madness. I tell you, Ted. Fucking madness.
Remember years ago, you stared at someone and they were like, is that TV tray on my forehead?
Just fancy it.
Slug you.
Will I fuck you up?
Yeah.
Are you ready to get fucked up?
I'm here for it. I want to be fucked up.
Owen, are you ready to roll your eyes?
Yep. Always with you, Joe.
Now, this is going to fuck you up. You're not going to be able to sleep tonight.
I think I will be able to.
And this is a trigger warning for the audience as well. We are 100% living in a simulation. We are living in a video game. We do not exist. We are... Emojis were.
Can I have the reasoning now?
Statistics, like, ChatGPT told me we are living in a simulation. Like, we are. But the concept is, if we as a species can live long enough to reach a point in time where we can develop a technology, and we're not far away from that. We are not far away from that. We reach a point in time where we develop a technology that can create a simulation on a video game.
Uh-huh.
That's basically virtual reality that can convince your mind that you're actually in a certain place, experiencing a certain thing. Well, then, that's what this is. If we can do that, there's no reason why that hasn't already been done and we are already there.
Where are we then?
We're in a video game. We don't exist. Like, our entire universe is just, everything that you see in front of you is just a rendered image that you use or whatever. Like, it's all just a simulation that's being played out by a greater being. great a person or an alien, whatever the fuck you want to think of it as.
Turtle's dream in outer space.
What do you think? What do you think?
It's a philosophical question. No, yeah, I've heard it argued before. There's no way of disproving it, which obviously suits Joe.
A lawyer. I'm convinced.
Just how did you get this far with it?
There's a fella who came up with the theory in 2003. His name...
Well, if it is a simulation, it's pretty fucking good.
Nick Bostrom.
Pretty fucking
Nick
good
Nick Bostrom,
one.
Yeah. Nick Bostrom.
Isn't it? It's a pretty fucking good one.
It's very good. So he said, Nick Bostrom said, are you living in a computer simulation? That was his paper that he wrote in 2003. And his argument is based on three main propositions. One, the fraction of human-level civilization that reaches a post-human stage, i.e. capable of creating simulations, is very close to zero. Number two, the fraction of post-human civilizations that are interested in running simulations of their evolutionary history or variations thereof is very close to zero. And three, the fraction of all people with our kind of experiences that are living in a simulation is very close to one. So your man Bostrom suggests that at least one of these propositions must be true. If the first two propositions are false, then it is very likely that we are living in a simulation. And if you do the maths on that, and there's literal mathematical equations, it brings the possibility of us living in a simulation to near 100%. 100%.
Well, that's his calculation. There are other scientists who say this is pseudoscience. And I'm not saying who's right or wrong. I'm just saying a very quick Google of this instantly pops up X, Y, and Z all say this could be complete nonsense. Or they say it is complete nonsense. But obviously some people believe it is true.
And it's even religions. People of religious backgrounds, it makes sense to them. Like, it makes sense to everyone. It makes sense to everyone that we're living in a video game, that this is not reality. Like, you see what's behind me. It's rendered from your position, but I can't see behind me, so it doesn't exist for me. That's just not there.
Because you're not looking at it.
Because I'm not looking at it. It's only there when it's observed. It's meta, it's like quantum mechanics, it's quantum physics and everything.
I feel like I'm going to have an existential crisis.
Didn't I say it? Fuck you up.
No, I won't. But it's interesting.
It's so interesting.
It's good, though. It's pretty good graphics.
Yeah. So the argument basically is that, like, if it's going to happen, the odds are, like, statistically, it's very unlikely we are in the one reality before it's happened. Am I right in thinking?
Yeah.
So there would only be one reality where it has yet to happen. But if it has happened, that you have, as I'm reading here, some like New York University philosophy professor David Chalmers said, it may just be a teenager hacking on a computer and running five universes in the background.
Like, what? That's insane.
Could be an evolution of humanity that's like moved on to a whole other plane.
Yeah.
So this could just be a program being run. So that's the theory, basically, that's why he says it's near 100%, because for it not to be the case, we have to be the one.
The only way it could not be the case, the only way that this is not a simulation is if humanity moves to a point in time where we can create that technology but chooses not to. That's not going to happen. Like, that, we have virtual reality headsets, where we have AI, like all of this shit, we are so close to that. We're so close to the end of the simulation.
Is this like the simulation creating like a thing of itself, really? So it's like they're too intelligent now.
So there's infinite universes. That comes into the equation. And the simulations are playing out human civilization on loop to see how they all play out. So you can see all different simulations of Hitler 1. There's a universe where Hitler won, and there's that whole universe. There's a universe where Genghis Khan won, and tiny little things. There's a universe where you just turned left instead of turning right. There's infinite amounts of universes. We're just in one of them.
Arguments against it. There's a couple. One is that Harvard University physicist Lisa Randall made the point during there was a very high level debate at the American Museum of Natural History in New York in 2016. So these are clever people, huh? And they had a big discussion about simulation theory. And her argument was, if you had the technology to simulate an entire universe to this degree, why in God's name would you pick this one? It's very boring. Humans are very boring. They're very self-centered. Would you not pick something more interesting? That's one. Either that's whether you give that much weight. Next one, though. Physicists Zohar Ringel and Dmitry Kovrishi, they published a paper in 2017 that basically said the computer power needed to simulate this universe, including all of our internal thoughts and emotions, which would also have to be run by this computer, for all the billions of people here, forever. They said it's basically impossible. You will never reach that technological capability to have not us, not just us, but the animals, every element of nature, all these things going on.
Like it takes them like 10 years to make GTA, in fairness.
But they make it.
They get there in the end, yeah. That's pretty fucking good.
But that's without quantum computing. So with quantum computing, that becomes a lot smaller. You need like fucking 14 quintillion.
Something non-human technology.
Yeah, well, it exists now. Like there is quantum computing, but it's like in 4 bits, which is like more powerful than the most powerful computer in existence. So if you can turn them 4 bits into a million bits, well then, it's possible then.
I don't want that to be true.
Well, here's another point. Some scientists are worried that if people keep asking, are we living in a simulation, and trying to test it. And there's a Preston Green, philosophy professor in Singapore. He's saying, you know, if you go out of your way there and prove, he believes we probably do live in a simulation, but he says, if someone proves conclusively that we live in a simulation, he's like, that's going to be a disaster. Think of what that would do to social order and civilization.
I'm just thinking, like, every game has a glitch. Like, when do you glitch? What's glitching?
Sleeping is a glitch. Or do you ever just kind of jump like that? You're just kind of, like, you think you're falling.
Just on
on
the border of, like, being awake and asleep, like. I think that's just your body just like, am I awake or am I asleep?
Deja vu. When you remember something, they say that's kind of like a crossover where you're kind of remembering. Or you're not remembering something, but you're experiencing something from a different universe or from a different timeline.
Imagine you just like touch the wall one day and it just start going.
I'm telling you,
Spider-Man.
You take mushrooms and then you'll fucking see the glitch in the Matrix.
That's just mind altering shit.
Yeah, and what is the mind? What is the mind if we are not real?
I'm just choosing to be ignorant of all of this because I'll go on a mad one.
It's mad when you think about it, man. It's mad when you think about it. When you think of this table, right? It's 90% nothing. 90% nothing.
Like if you zoom, 100% wood.
But if you zoom into it, if you get a microscope and look into it, you'll see that it's just nothing. There's nothing being held together. Like there's 10% of shit being held together and it's all hollow. So how can this be 90% nothing if it's 100% something to our stupid human brains?
You're 90% nothing.
Oh, yeah, I'm, yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to say that to someone that I don't like. You're 90% nothing. You get a microscope, you'll see you're hollow. You're nothing. Oh, we should go into town and just start telling everyone about this.
Or we'd get like a sandwich board.
That'd be
so you're in the simulation.
Do you ever play The Sims? Yeah, well, that's what's happening.
We're all Tamagotchis.
Imagine you just got to the end and you were just in a Tamagotchi.
We're going to get to the end.
Like that. I've got to feed you today, but that's when you get hungry. Like, we're going to mess with so many people's minds.
Look, when we die, some alien is just going to take off a headset and just be like, that was fucking mad. We do that again? Yeah, go on. And then, vroom. Back into the beginning of time again. Baby.
Deadly.
Baby comes out going, wah, wah. And then it's like the start.
I don't like that. I don't like that at all. I just think I'll stick to the living in the now.
You're an avatar, man.
I'm not.
You're an avatar.
I'm not fucking blue.
You don't know it, but you are.
Your blood is blue before it hits the air.
That's correct.
Why? What the fuck? Oh, man. Jesus. What the fuck, man? I'm going for the toilet.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen of the simulation. Hope you enjoyed that episode.
I oppose.
Can't do anything about it. We're in that world.
It's good anyway.
And in that simulation, there'll be another episode of the Staller podcast next Wednesday. And a bonus episode out on Monday. And you can send in a listener question to staller@goloud.com.
That's not staller@goloud.com. He's just saying now as in like, it's staller. It's part of it.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not making a demand.
That's saying now, do it now. The now is in the email.
Well, thanks for listening. Bye bye.
See you now.